Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joe. Stay tuned.
Everybody, welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey, and hope you are having a great month of October. And with us tonight, we're going to have a special LA-based actor, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about him very shortly. Before that, I want to introduce, you know, being a musician, I'm always aware of great singers and songwriters and all that. And, you know, sometimes I like to just intro them on my show. And sometimes we're going to do it like we're doing it in running it in conjunction with another show tonight. But, you know, I want to introduce a friend of mine from the San Francisco Bay Area, and his name is Thumper. Yep, that's correct. And so his music is really interesting. It's a blend of pop and country and rock. And I want to play you a tune that he wrote, and it's called Bad Girls Look So Good. Here's Thumper.
If Clinton didn't inhale, why's he smoking pot? Sounds like bull, and it makes no sense. I guess you gotta lie, lie, lie to be president. Just like a mad world, where all the bad girls look so good. Go ask your preacher man, go ask the Pope. Yo, how did Ollie win playing Roberto? It looks so strange. Made me think the champ's gone insane. Just like a mad world, where all the bad girls look so good.
Website is www.thumpr.net. Again, thumpr.net. Great music. You can tell I like a lot of country. I had Amy Rose from Canada, from Toronto with us recently and shook up the house. And so you know I like that. And I kind of do kind of similar music to Thumper. We do kind of a tilt on country and kind of a fusion of country and rock and soul and all that kind of stuff. So, again, we thank Thumper. And now, joining us all the way from L.A. Tonight is with us an L.A.-based actor, screenwriter, director, producer, musician, best known for his role as George in George of the Jungle Part 2. So please help me welcome Christopher Showerman. Hey, Chris, how are you? How are you doing tonight in October? How are you? Chris, are you there? Chris with us. Hey, Chris. Chris is not there. Where did Chris go? Uh-oh. We're missing Chris. Let's try to get him back on. Hold tight, folks. Let's try this one more time. Chris, are you there? Hello? Hello, hello? Chris, if you can hear us, if you could just call back in, we really hope that he's here. And here he is. Let's see. Chris, you're there?
Hey. Joey,
well,
what were
you doing, playing mystery guest? And then I'm like, okay, let's welcome Chris. And then Chris was not around.
It was amazing.
Wow.
The whole phone system, I could hear you announcing me. We were like three words away from going on, and the whole phone system here went down.
Oh,
everything went
black.
So I called you on
my
cell phone.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, of course. Timing is everything.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, I am glad that you've joined us, and, man, that is something else. How about that? So now How about that? Well, you know, I'm glad you're with us. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I'm glad I'm with you tonight, too, because I thought Thumper's song was awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
I'm glad the phone held out for that song. That was a great song. Kudos
to him. He's just a great guy and a friend, and I really enjoy his music. And, you know, I'm real I think I'm kind of picky about – you know, singers and songwriters. And the first time I heard about him, I really I dug his music and was introduced to him. And again, you know, maybe it kind of reminds me a little bit of my style. So I think we're always drawn to things that kind of, you know, click. Something in us clicks and we say, you know, I get it. So anyway, but, you know, now we're talking a bit about you, Christopher Showerman. And so, you know, Chris, in reading about you and researching you, I understand you were raised in Michigan and you majored in music at Michigan State. So, you know, I'm kind of interested on what threw you into acting, or did you always have a love and a passion for this?
Well, I'm impressed, Joey. You did your homework. You know, I got into acting, I was in kindergarten. I was in this play called The Three Billy Goats Gruff, and I got to be the biggest billy goat behave badly in general, and people applauded me for it. So I thought, I don't know what this is, but whatever it is, I want to be doing more of that. And then when I found out you could get paid for it, all the better.
Right. So that's awesome. So that was kind of your step into acting, right? So
right.
and then as we move forward, you got into George. You were, you know, obviously you were George in George of the Jungle 2, and that was really a great break for you in acting. And that was, if I understand correctly, that was about 10 years ago, in 2003. Is that right?
That's right. We're coming up on an anniversary here in a couple of days.
Oh, there you go. And then, do you have your candles ready? For your cake.
I do.
For your anniversary.
I do, yes.
I just want to make
sure. It's going to be a lot of fire.
Okay. So I kind of caught you off guard there. Okay, so now, were you replacing Brendan? Because,
yeah, were doing a...
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. They were doing a big search to find another George. Brendan, they'd asked Brendan to come back. If you saw the first George of the Jungle, Brendan was just fantastic and created a really lovable, really adorable role with his character that he made up, George of the Jungle. So they did a big casting, and they said they didn't necessarily want anyone that looked like him or sounded like him, but I do kind of look like Brendan, so I think that played in my favor. And when I met the producers, it was kind of kismet. We all sort of knew in that first meeting that there was something that was clicking right then, and it's a pretty magical feeling.
Wow, that is very, very cool. But now, your portrayal of George of the Jungle was a tad bit different, and is that right? I mean, really?
Yeah.
Quite honestly, it was a tad bit different, right?
It was, for better or worse. I think every actor would approach that situation, at least most actors that I know, would try to take that and go, okay, well, this is a cool role, and Brendan, you know, created such a cool thing with his crack at it. But I want to try and do something that's a little bit more my own. So rather than just try to steal his performance whole cloth, I spent more time actually at the zoo studying monkeys and hanging out at the primate center and just seeing how they move and how they operate together. Because I figure if I'm a jungle man and I was raised by apes, then this is my frame of reference right here. This is what I know.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. Did you get really close to these apes?
I spent a lot of time at the LA Zoo, and I only got as close as anybody could get to them.
Right.
But when we
right.
shot this movie, and we shot it in Australia, I actually got to hang out, spend a couple of days with a monkey.
Really?
He's like an
Australian monkey.
A monkey
that was
freaking trimmed on the Barbie.
Did he say, hey, mate? Hey, mate, how are you?
How you going,
oh,
mate?
How you doing, mate?
Swinging through the jungle, are you? Yeah.
Oh, that's funny, man. That is great. So, you know, is it kind of hard to portray sort of a cartoon character? I mean, when you think about it, quite honest, you don't look like a cartoon character. But, you know, I mean, I have seen people that do look like cartoon characters. You're not one of them. But how hard is that? How hard is that to portray sort of a cartoon character?
Well, first off, thanks. I think that's a good thing that I don't look like a cartoon character. But
I know.
It's a balance. You know, that's a great question, too, Joey, because you're trying to find this centerpiece. First off, you have to have respect for the fact that this is a Jay Ward cartoon. It's a character that comes from cartoons, and people
right.
have an expectation that he's supposed to be goofy and funny and a little plastic and pliable, and you can, you know, throw him into the Grand Canyon and he'll just bounce back up. So
right.
you have to embody that part of him, but to make an audience really take an emotional journey with you, you have to make him relatable as a human being as well. So we have to see that, okay, maybe he can fall into the Grand Canyon and not get hurt, but if Ursula, you know, leaves him, then he can get very hurt. Or if he, you know, if he somehow loses custody of his son, then, you know, he can be hurt as any of us that, you know, have had to go through a major loss like that, which was kind of what the movie was about. And it is as light as we could make it as a cartoon. It was sort of a dark story that I think a lot of people can relate to.
Well, you have such a great, great story. I mean, your life, again, I research people really well. And, you know, I know you've done some really awesome humanitarian work, and you give back into the community. So can you tell me, and tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. You know, I got a lot of opportunities after doing work with Disney, and Disney as a company is really involved in giving back. In fact, they have a whole a whole branch of their company called Volunteers, a little play on the ears of Mickey. But with that part of the company, they have hundreds of events throughout the year that you can become involved with. And so that was where I started getting involved with doing a lot of volunteer work through the Disney company. And we did a lot of stuff for pediatric AIDS. And then I actually was a coach. This wasn't through Disney, but I was a coach for powerlifting with the Special Olympics, which was one of my favorite things to do. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
So that is
awesome.
Really fun. Mm-hmm.
So you know, being you just hit a chord with me because I've been involved in the pharmaceutical industry for about 17 years as a hospital representative, and I did market a product in pediatrics as well. But you talked about something about pediatric AIDS. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that is really sad.
Yeah, the most innocent of victims out there, these kids that are just brought into the world and already have these diseases, and they're not the only ones. I mean, you know, there's kids that are born with congenital conditions that affect them or affect the length or quality of their life all the time, and it's really sad, and it's almost overwhelming. So with the group that I was working with on that, it's the Elizabeth Glazer Pediatric AIDS Foundation, and being able to say, okay, well, we're just going to focus on these kids that are born with AIDS, or you could focus on anything else. But it mm-hmm. makes you feel like, okay, well, maybe I have a chance to make a tiny little difference in these kids' lives. And actually going to the hospital and visiting with some of the patients there, then you feel like, okay, now, all that sort of public stuff that I do, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But being on a one-on-one with the real patients and seeing that I've made a difference at least in this moment in their lives, because you do a lot of volunteer work as well and you know, make a difference in the community. But nothing can compare to that feeling mm-hmm. where, okay, this is real. This is something that meant something to somebody else and therefore it meant
right.
something to me.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, without sounding religious or anything like that, if you have any belief in God or light or anything like that, to be an extension of that out to people's lives is pretty awesome. When you can reach out to people and touch them and make a difference in their life, it really shows the type of individual that you really truly are. And it gives other people hope where there might not have been hope in their life. And that's really quite very, very cool. So, you know, I want to keep talking to you. I want to get back into, I'm going to take a real quick station identification. And then I want to get into, when you have time to relax, some of your pastimes, et cetera, I want to talk about mm-hmm. that. And then in the meantime, right after that, I'm going to run a tune by you. We had this country singer, really awesome, from Canada, from Toronto. Her name is Amy Rose. And she sings kind of a fun song that is called Redneck Wedding. Boy, I guess I'm getting in the country mode. But anyway, I'm going to run that, and then I'm going to bring you back on. So hold tight. And folks, we're talking with Christopher Showerman, all the way from L.A., Georgia the Jungle, part two. He was the main actor there, Georgia the Jungle 2. So he was a star, Christopher Showerman. So you can actually Google him. You know, kind of like that actress said when she took a recent plane flight. This was kind of bizarre, but she didn't have ID. And so they asked her for her ID, and what did she say? Google me. So you Google my buddy here, okay? Google Christopher Showerman. You'll know who he is when you see him. So, and then in the meantime, folks, I just want to let you know this is what we're listening to. We're doing a show here with Chris Showerman, Blog Talk Radio, live from the Bay with Joey. We're going to get back to him. I want to play you a song from Amy Rose from Canada, redneck, wow, I was having a problem saying that. It almost sounded like a male version of Barbara Walters. Amy Rose, Redneck Wedding. Here we go. Listening to Amy Rose from Toronto, Canada. And so also with us again, joining us tonight all the way from L.A. is George of the Jungle 2 star Christopher Showerman. So, Chris, we're going to bring you back on, and we're going to ask you how you like to party. What do you do when you relax, and some of your pastimes and some things that you like to do to kick up your heels there?
Well, I like to hang out at a redneck wedding every once in a while.
So oh, that
Amy
was
Rose,
classic.
She sounds like a whole, yeah, she sounds like a whole keg of fun. She's
oh, man. Oh, man, you know, me and her just had, she invited me, she's like, you need to come up to Canada, and we're going to just party, and we're going to have fun, and I'm going to take you. Apparently, they have the best Chinese food, superior to, superior to America. And
What part of Canada is she in?
In Toronto.
In Toronto? They do have great Chinese food in Toronto.
Oh, really? Have you been there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
What makes it so great?
I'm with a show. Well, there's a lot of Chinese folk up there, and so
they just
make their own food. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I spent a couple of months there when I was on a tour, and the Chinese food was fantastic. Actually, all the food was great. All the food that I had in Toronto was fantastic.
Oh, that's great. That's great. But I think she's going to get a kick out of what you just said. That's pretty funny. So, anyway, But really, when you're outside of hanging out at a redneck wedding, when you have time to just, you know, relax, and what are some of your pastimes? What do you like to do? And also, are you a good cook? Do you like to cook for your girlfriend or anything like that?
You know, I am a mediocre cook, meaning I cook eggs. I can do breakfast. I can rock it on breakfast, but other than that, I'm better
that
at just paying the bill.
Yeah, so that would be a no.
That would be pretty much a no.
Although that would be a no.
But she is a fantastic baker, and she has taught me how to make one of the most moist cakes ever. I can do it from memory now. We've done it so many times that I can do
really?
It in my sleep. Yeah.
Really.
So that,
and what makes
that's
it so moist? Are you going to give our listeners a? Are you going to give them like an? Come on, Chris. Now you got to give them some kind of
the Colonel's secret recipe.
Yeah. I mean, really. I mean, yeah. Because you know, I think people would really, you know, really, really appreciate that. So, you know, come on now.
Here's the secret. So you start with just a plain old box, cake box, and so a pre-mixed box. She likes Betty Crocker, so she'll take a Betty Crocker cake mix, and then she she's giving me the don't tell the secret. Well, I have to tell them some of it. Well,
okay.
One of the secret ingredients with it is instant pudding. So you put a whole package of instant pudding in. And the other secret ingredient is a whole pound of sour cream.
Whoa. Oh, that must be real. Oh, that's cool. You know,
That's the one.
Yeah. That's a secret, man. That's a secret. Now, so it must be really super, super moist, right?
It's really nice and moist. It's not overly moist. You would think with a whole pound of sour cream, but it's not. It actually holds up really nicely. So
the whole cake, okay, the cake doesn't fall apart or anything.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know what? I mean, that's great. I mean, I really appreciate it. And I know that everybody just thanked you. Let's thank Chris.
Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Yeah. So anyway, let's go back to your life. And so outside of baking cakes, what things do you like to do? Like just to kick back and just say, you know, we're just going to, I mean, you're in L.A., come on, there's some really.
I am. I have everything. I have a world of possibilities in my fingertips every evening. So there's a lot to do here, and I love it all. I love to go hiking. We have a couple of dogs. I love doing pretty much anything with them, so we take them hiking and we'll run around with them. And I love I'm into archery, so I like to shoot me a bow and arrow on time and again.
Cool.
And there are a couple of archery ranges out here in LA. You'd be surprised. So.
Right.
So there's a little archery community here.
Cool.
And then, of course, I like exercise. So, I hit the gym, and that's actually, believe it or not, kind of fun for me. So that's one of my pastimes.
Yeah. I mean, whatever works for you, that's always cool, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, of course, music.
Yeah, now that's a good segue. You know what? You must have ESP because that was my next question. So tell us about your music.
Okay, well, what do you want to know?
Well, whatever you want to tell me, and then hopefully you'll come back sometime and we can play it.
I would love that. Well, as you alluded to a little earlier on, I went to school in Michigan State for music, and I got a composition degree. So I love to write music, and even though I don't get to do it for pay very often, I do a lot of writing just on my own, and that's my outlet, you know, and to express myself that way. And so we just finished a movie. It's not out yet, called Radio America, and it's loaded with a bunch of my music. And actually, I wrote the script specifically so I could weave my music into it, because I had all this music sitting around, and I thought, you know, how, you know, it's not doing anybody any good just sitting in my drawer. So I pulled it out, dusted it off, and got some musicians, some great musicians here in LA around, and we laid down the tracks, and then I wrote the script around the music that I had, and it turned out to be a pretty fun little intimate story about a couple of farm boys that go from rags to riches and back to rags again.
Wow, that's cool. Is some of your music kind of country, because like you're talking farms and stuff, or no?
Well, most of the music in that is rock and roll, because these boys play rock and roll,
and
a lot of my music, because I was really influenced by country growing up. My dad was a huge country fan, and I know a lot of country, a lot of old country, like Hank Williams Sr. and some of that ilk as well.
Wow.
That's part of my influence, my musical influence. But the music, if you listen to it, you'd say, yeah, that's rock and roll. And it's specifically late 20th century rock and roll. So 80s, 90s, that's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
mm-hmm.
where the story takes place, is in the late 90s.
Oh, that's very, very cool. So now when do you expect that's going to come out?
Well, we're hoping that in 2014, at the beginning of the year, we're hoping that it'll be available for people to see and enjoy them. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I look forward to all your comments.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's hard to write. About two and a half years ago, I started writing a script. And for a short film. And so, you know, it's been a rough ride, because there have been certain times that I'm like, okay, I'm ready to film. And then I'm like, you know what, I'm not ready to film. And then I have a name for the film because of a song that's one of my tunes that I put in the film, right? And then I'm like, no, I'm going to change it. And then I heard something interesting from a filmmaker, an LA-based filmmaker. So you should always make sure that your films start at the beginning of the alphabet versus the latter part of the alphabet. And you know what? I changed the name of my film before he even told me that. I thought, you know what, because it started with like a W, you know, and I was like, you know. So now I changed it to the beginning of the alphabet. So hopefully, hopefully that'll get some viewership. Hopefully not. Yeah, hopefully, not the audience, but Sesame Street. What's that?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of a wonder that anyone saw Zoolander at all then.
Right, and I was like, I hope it's not going to be the audience of Sesame Street or anything like that. Okay, maybe. But you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, and my hat goes off to people that are, screenwriters and people that, that direct and people that produce. It's very tough, and you want to make sure that you get the right actors in and that it's, that it really comes out the way you really intended it, the way you envisioned it. So I'm sure yours is going to be spectacular. So keep me in the loop, and if you have a role for me, let me know, okay?
Oh, thank you so much, Joey. I'll keep an eye open for it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So what other roles are you involved in now, and do you have any upcoming projects?
I do indeed. There's a movie that – Brooks Campbell directed, and it's called Ladybug. And it's a very innocent title for a very dark movie. I play a serial killer, and it's the first time I've gotten to play a character like that. So
how did you like that?
I loved it. It was really intense, really draining to hold on to that kind of energy while we were shooting. But I think totally worth it. Everything that I've seen, I'm very proud of. Though the whole movie hasn't been edited together yet, we still have some pickups to shoot. So
now
I'm
my question would
for people to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And since you are such a positive person, and you know, you said it was kind of hard to hold that energy for a long time, how would you get into that role? I mean, quite honestly. Would you just go and beat up a tree or something? How do you prepare for a role like that when you really don't have, you know, because, Chris, you know, I will actually, because even in this radio show, I mean, this is kind of acting to me as well, and I'm able to utilize that skill set many times in talking to people, of course not with you, but with other people. And so I prepare myself, and, you know, sometimes it really is, it's just so draining. And you really have to, people that don't act don't really realize that there's a lot that goes into getting into character, right? And so what would you do to portray that? Because you've got, you mentioned energy, and that's really.
Well, I'll tell you, Joey, I treat this guy, this guy is he's a serial killer, and I treat a serial killer the same way that I treat maybe an alcoholic or somebody that was hooked on heroin. They've got an addiction. And so I can't relate to killing people, but I can relate to having some kind of force in my life that I would fight against and try not to do. So I think that we all can. There's some kind of temptation in our lives, and so we can, at some level, relate to that. And the other thing about psychopaths, and I got to do a lot of study with psychopaths, is that they're incredibly intense and focused on what they want once they've set their mind to something. And that's not just serial killers. There's actually a lot of really successful people that are psychopathic, just clinically speaking. Like, for instance, Steve Jobs, total psychopath. Because he's so driven. He sees what he wants, and nothing is going to get in the way of that. And so that holding that kind of energy is the draining part, because it's so focused and so intense, which is also what makes that character such a joy to play. Although you're wiped out by the end of the day, but he's really exciting to play because he's not going to let anything get in the way of what he wants.
Right. Well, and you know, that being said, you know, I appreciate you talking about that. That now, God, I hope I'm not. I'm very focused in a lot of things. Don't ever call me a psychopath. Anyway, I'm very focused on what I want and where I want to go and stuff like that. But, you know, there are many times where I've been asked to, maybe even here, to do a show or to cover something, and I think about it, and I will not do it because I don't feel a peace about it. And I don't want that type of energy because, see, I'm probably not like you in that I'm pretty I pick up a lot of energy from different situations. So sometimes when I go into a place like that that's really negative, I pick it up so much that it'll drain me and get me really upset, and I won't be able to function. In fact, I just turned down something that was going to do that, and I just said, you know, I can't do it. And then people that know me said, you know, Joey, just, you know, I know that you would have an issue with that. Now, but clearly when you're an actor.
Where do you feel that? Where do you pick up those energies, Joey? Like, at what point do you go, ooh, I feel, you know, this isn't right for me? How do you get that?
Well, you mean how has that happened?
Yeah. Like, is it sometimes just in the conversation with the guy that's asking you to do something, or do you just sit at home and you get a feeling, or how does that work?
You really want me to tell you the truth?
Yeah.
Or do you want me to just tell you a glossed over version?
The dirty truth.
Here it is. So, you know, as a musician, as an actor, just like you, we're pretty sensitive individuals, right? But since I was about five, And I was raised in a very strong, pretty religious home. I always had, now you can imagine, I'm a little bit older than you, and back during those days, we didn't have caller ID, you know? Seriously, right? We didn't have caller ID. The phone would ring, and you'd pick it up and go, hello, and then you'd find out who was on the other end. But many times I would actually feel and sense who was on the other end while they were calling.
So I would
pick up the phone and know who was on the other end. So instead of just saying hello, I might say, hi, Aunt Mary. And
that convinced that you could pick it up and just know that it was going to be her.
Yeah. So now how it's progressed in my life now is because I'm a very spiritual person, I will sense different things, even about individuals. I wouldn't consider myself psychic. I don't necessarily like that word, but I would definitely say I am a mystic, and I'm pretty intuitive, so I can sense. You know, it's just I believe it's a gift. It's an inward, you know, it's a manifestation of an inward gift, a God-given gift that people have. And so usually I will utilize that to speak life and into people's life, you know, to speak words of wisdom and encouragement. And sometimes I will not go somewhere because I sense something, or I will I can pass by a place and I can feel that energy. So I don't know if that answers your question. Does that answer your question?
No, completely. That's great. Talk about using your powers for good, too. That's really cool that you use that to create light and space and openness in people's lives and spread more truth. I think that's awesome, Joey.
And see, and I think how that translates out is I sense that you have that, too. So, but your... How can I say this? So, like, for instance, there's been a lot written on you, and you know that there was one individual that apparently I had read about that actually is no longer here that passed on, that
right.
I think he passed on of AIDS or whatever. He could sense that you had a very strong connection to God. And see, this is what I do, and just it's a natural progression of an inward gift. So, you know, I just walk in that. But I will not, you know, it's something that I have to be very cognizant of, because when I go into a role of an actor, and this is where I believe, see, you're a great actor in that you can not allow those things to really engulf you. I'm still learning that, because sometimes it's too overwhelming for me and I cannot do it. Because I'm an empath as well, I can't do it.
It's just, you feel like you get lost in that role?
I don't know so much that I would get lost in the role as I might not be able to do it justice, you know, because maybe it's too deep for me. Maybe I don't feel that. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's, you know what? You're right. That's a really insightful thought on acting, because you do have to, like, I made a contract with all the characters that I'm going to portray that I don't necessarily want to use them as a vehicle to make me look good, but I want to be a vehicle for them to let them tell their truth. So that's the contract that I put out to the characters that I will play, and we have this agreement with each other.
Right.
So that's how I look at it, to try and get, and maybe that's a long way around saying I'm trying to get my own ego out of the way and my own needs to be liked or to be seen as a certain kind of person and to really do them justice. And you're right, it can take you to some really uncomfortable or unsavory places.
Right, right. I mean, I think as an actor, you know, there are some people that go, you know what, I'm totally cool with playing this role or that role or this, you know, and it doesn't affect me. And I'm thinking to myself, how does it not affect you? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, how could it not, if you're a great actor and you really get into that, like you were saying, you know, you felt kind of like drained. Well, that shows that you're a great actor, you know, because you're getting involved in the role. Somebody that says to me, you know what, I play this role, but I'm totally opposite of the role, and this has no, it doesn't affect me in my life at all. And I'm thinking to myself, really? Seriously? I mean, that sounds kind of a little bit far-fetched to ask, you know, if you ask me. Because I think that, right, I think that the more you allow things in, it affects your, you know, your being. If you're, you know, we're spiritual beings and it affects who you are. So anyway, but it's kind of cool that you're able to go into another realm, portray that, and learn from that, and then move on and go into more of another fun realm of some other kind of character. So I think that's, you know, that in itself is really awesome. Yep.
I love it. I love the variety that I get to experience through, you know, stepping into all these different shoes. And also knowing in the back of my head when I'm in the middle of an experience like that, you know, I do want to do this character justice, but at the end of the day, I get to leave him. I get to put him back where I found him and say, you know, thank you, and move on with my life. So I don't have to necessarily live in any kind of tortured space that character may live in.
Knowing
that there's a light at the end of the tunnel
is really a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Very good thing. So, you know what, in closing here, I want to run by you, Chris. I want to know, like, if people want to get in touch with you, you know, want to talk to you, want to write to you, want to invite you to Canada for some Chinese food, just kidding. Again, anyway.
If Amy invites me to Canada, tell her I'm coming with you guys. We'll have Chinese food. I can use chopsticks and everything.
And there you go. Yeah, it's. I can hardly wait to go there. You know, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
I would love
to.
I tell you what. When you go to Toronto, Joey, there's this mall in Toronto, and they have 17 miles of tunnels underneath the city that you can just keep walking through, and it's an underground mall, which they do that because, as you know, it gets cold and just unlivable on the surface of the planet that far north, and there's snow and ice and horribleness, but they've built kind of a little city under the city, and it's fascinating. You can walk across a major part of that city underneath the ground, and there's shops and restaurants down there. It's like another world.
Wow, so
Toronto's
it's not
fantastic.
Like, yeah. Now, have you ever gone through the underground? What is it called in Seattle? They have
no, never been to Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle has, but you know what? They don't have. They just show how where the city once was before it was built up, and you're going underneath and where some of the streets were and. Yeah, that's kind of creepy, you know, because you realize it's been built up. But they don't have any shops or anything like that, so that must be really kind of cool. Is it really dark or is it really lit up really well?
No, it's completely lit up. You feel like you're in a normal mall that doesn't have any windows, and you forget that you're underneath the surface of the earth. And it's really quite disorienting because it really does go on forever, and it's a bit of a maze down there. So you may surface in a whole other part of the city and go, okay, wait a second, where am I?
Wow. Does it feel any different than being, like, I mean, being underground, does it feel any different than, like, when you're there for a long period of time than if you were, like, a normal street level or?
Well, no, not that far underground. It's not like you get the bends or anything if you come up too fast because you just want to level down. But
So that's kind of
really
cool.
You really do forget.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
Yeah. Although the Seattle thing sounds cool, too. It's like discovering Atlantis, you know, this dead city underneath a live city. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
it's
going
kind
on my
of,
bucket list.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting place, you know. You know, we've got here on the West Coast, we've got some really great places to go. Of course, being in Northern California, we're closer proximity to the Northwest than, say, you are down there in Southern California, and we probably have a little bit more in common with the Pacific Northwest than we probably do with Southern California. However, Southern California is so, so cool, you know? I mean,
yeah,
you got
a
wonderful
lot to do.
Oh yeah, you've got just wonderful places to go, and Huntington Beach is very cool, and just there's so many places in your area in LA that are just really, really cool. That being said, let people
surf
know
in the same day.
What's that?
Oh, I was saying you can ski and surf all in the same day, in a snow ski and then surf in the ocean all in the same day. It's all
right,
so
now,
close to it.
Right. Now, if you were going to go skiing, where would you go? Big Bear?
Yeah, Big Bear is probably the closest. You know, there's a place called Mount Baldy, which is even a little closer.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's
maybe
very, very
there.
Cool. There you go.
Yeah.
So, again, if people want to get in touch with you, Chris, let them know how they can get in touch with you. And, again, I would really like you to come back so we can hear some of your music. And, you know, and then I will also tell all my friends up in Canada that, and I'll tell Amy too, that when we're going up there, that we're going to go for Chinese food, and then we're going to invite you as well. And, you know, and I have a little friend here, isn't that right? So we're going to.
Yeah, you're a very silly man.
No, I'm not a silly man. I'm just saying that, you know, we're going to invite Chris too, so he's going to go for some Chinese food. So anyway, let people know how to get in touch. How to get in touch with you, if that would be okay. We want people to know how to reach you via, I don't know if you have Twitter or
via Facebook.
Via
the interwebs. Well, there is some Twitter stuff going out, but the best way to get in touch with me and directly with me, you can reach me through Facebook at Christopher Showerman or through my website, ChristopherShowerman.com, spelled out. And I answer every single email personally that comes in. So please reach out if you're interested in anything, have any questions about what I do, have questions about something you'd like to do that you think I might have some insight on in the entertainment industry or the fitness industry, send your questions. I would love to actually connect with people out there that are listening and that are interested.
That's groovy. Well, I appreciate that, Chris, and I know everybody appreciates it, and, you know, we just want to thank you again. Yes, that applause is for you. Uh-huh. And,
I love it. Thank you, Joey.
What's that?
I said thank you, Joey.
Oh, no, thank you. And so, all right, folks, we know how to get a hold of Chris. All right, you heard it. He gave you all the information, okay? So, and Chris, again, we thank you for joining us tonight. I wish you the very best in L.A. We'll be in touch. Thank you for doing a great show, for being a sport. Yeah? Really appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Joey. Well, you made it a total pleasure, and I wish you only the best with everything you've got going on. I know you have an awful lot of irons in the fire as well, so thank you for that.
Well, yeah, thank you. And, again, folks, you know how to reach Chris, and we want to thank Chris again for joining us tonight. And so stay tuned for October shows, including this will replay again as we move forward. And we just thank you. And till the next time, this is Joey saying take care and good night.